thing. Other than that, we did a lot of sports activities. We watched some Wimbledon. I don't know if you caught any of Wimbledon. We had a tennis fan with us, so Ruth was a tennis fan, so we watched Wimbledon. And I accidentally matched Princess Kate's color outfit for the men's final. I was in my green caftan, and she had on a green.
Y'all are the same.
That's what I was saying. I'm like, basically, we're the same because we have the same color green on. So that was a big throw.
What happens when you combine a design-loving, big-city-living, black-clothes-wearing art history major with a culinary-teaching, small-town-living, pink toenail painting, home ec major? We'll stir in two husbands, six grown kids, pop it in the oven for 40-plus years of friendship and foolishness, and you get a big old batch of designer cornbread.
What is this? Okay, get us in. You get us in.
I have no idea. I'm on summer break.
Okay, all right.
Welcome,
okay.
Everybody, to Designer Cornbread Podcast. I don't even know my own name. Episode 193.
That's right. That's perfect. That's perfect. We're both on summer break. We have no idea what's going on.
I don't.
You're lucky we all showed up on the right time to record. So.
Mine is quickly coming to an end.
I don't want to say that. I don't want to talk about that.
It's coming to an end. I have this week, and I am off Monday and Tuesday of next week, and then I start in service.
I can't believe that.
Yep.
I cannot believe that. I know we were, you know, we've been at a Walmart. I guess it was last week sometime, wherever, and they had all their school supply stuff out. And I know it happens, but it's still shocking to me. It's just shocking.
Yeah, I don't like, you know, toward the beginning of July, I start getting all these school emails and, you know, hey, here's the schedule, here's this, here's that. And I'm like, stop.
Send that the day before.
Stop.
We don't want to know anything.
No, wait till in-service. I don't need all that right now.
That's right. That's what in-service is for. You don't need to read those emails. I can't even believe it. I don't want to discuss it. I feel like it's been a million years since we've talked. What have you been doing? What is going on? Give us a knee update.
I have not much. I've still been cleaning up from 4th of July weekend.
Oh, no. Still finding random bottles and cans.
Yes. Getting sheets back on beds, washed and redone, and washing towels and, and all of that. So
glamorous.
In my life, I've got... Mother's Bridge Club is coming tomorrow that I get to take care of them. I've been to physical therapy. They gave me another month of that.
Okay.
And that's it. It's been my summer.
It's been your summer. It's been the summer of laundry and PT. That doesn't, but you've been able to do it in getting in and out of the pool and in your jammies. Maybe that makes it a little better, but I don't know.
Not a whole lot.
Not a whole lot. I tried. It didn't help.
I did go out in the pool today, and I stayed. You know, I thought I'm coming to an end. I cleaned till about 11:30, and I thought I'm just going to get out there and just float. I'm just going to take my last week here and just really stay in the pool. It's too hot.
Is it still really
hot?
Even
in the pool, it is. Our heat index, I think. Today is 110.
Oh, my word.
And it's just, I mean, even in the pool. And the pool's relatively cool, but it's just unbearable outside.
Wow. But anyway. Wow. Yeah, well, there you go. That's summer. I haven't even poked my head outside today, so I don't even know. We had some rain here. When was it? Just this weekend sometime. And then it just got super muggy. I do know that. Yeah. I went outside for a second, and I was like, woo. No, thank you.
Let me address weather for a minute.
Yes, please do. Weather corner with Joni.
I had a weather phenomenon that I have never had in 56 years of life.
What?
Here.
Okay.
And it was so strange that I thought, okay, is the government messing with the weather here?
Uh-oh.
So we had a thunderstorm come through, and I'm sitting outside. I mean, it kind of, you know, one of these that came up from nowhere. And I'm sitting under the gazebo. And so I'm watching it. Lightning did not come straight down. It was like across the sky. But the thunder, I have never heard such thunder in my entire life. It was like sonic booms.
Really?
I mean, and it shook the ground, and about like four or five of them went off. Shook the ground, shook the house. I mean, Shadow came bolting back to me.
Oh my goodness, really?
But I have never heard. I mean, I've had loud thunder.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say, you know, sometimes you get those gentle rumbles. Sometimes you get loud cracks. Mm-hmm. This was unlike anything that I've ever heard. I mean, when I say a sonic boom, it sounded like a sonic boom.
Was it? Maybe there was a plane doing something?
Lightning would streak across. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was so bad. I would have sworn to you, had I been inside, I would have sworn to you that like lightning came down and hit the driveway and exploded the house. I mean, I've never heard anything like it. And you'd think after 56 years, you would not have any new
right, and especially living in that place. It's like it's not right. Just like you were on a trip somewhere weird and you're like, maybe this is right. Normal here, but that is a mystery. Who do you know that you can contact and ask? Do you know any meteorologists?
I don't know, but I don't really trust them anymore because, you know, we have, what is it, Gorilla Hell. And
oh, true, true, yeah.
You know, polar bombs.
This
and,
is the heat, you know, the sonic heat bomb is what you had. Let's just name it.
Sonic, it was, I mean, I'm sitting there going, never in my life have I heard that. Never.
That is bizarre. Wow. Well, you know, we're never too old there's always something new.
I don't know. I think something funny is going on.
You heard it here first, you guys. Yeah. Something funny is going on. Mm-hmm. Be aware. That's crazy. Oh my goodness. Well, I had a little fun. We went to Florida last week, as you know, and that's why we weren't here last week, guys. Apologies, but we all needed a little break. And so we were in Florida and we had a wonderful time. Of course, it was caftan, swimsuit, same rhythm pretty much. I think we had to get dressed a couple times because of food. But I'll tell you one thing that always you know, packing for an airplane trip versus a car trip, it's no fun. It's just...
Some of us pack a little heavier than others.
Well, that might be true. And I do not feel any judgment on that. I will not accept any judgment.
Some of us have bags that have bags.
Well, it's true. I had so many. I had so many bags in my bags. And I try to be so, like, it makes my heart happy when things are organized and easy and together. And that's fine. But man, every time I fly and I have to pack for a plane, it's so much more mental energy just because of what can go in what. I checked my giant suitcase. Now, in my defense, not that I need to make one, but in my defense, I'm putting in a beach bag. I'm putting in a little fold-up sand cloud beach blanket. I'm putting in two big jugs, you know, empty water bottle. Like, so... My suitcase is holding some paraphernalia that I normally don't need to bring. Not that that would matter. But I have a giant suitcase. I used the big away one, and Tim used the medium, and then I used the rolly, my little, for a carry-on. Anyway, so I have the big one, but, like, even when you have the big one, you can only do up to 50 pounds. And that big thing will hold... You know, so it's like you're having to calculate, you're having to go on the scale, you're having to figure out what can't go in the carry-on that's liquid and whatever, but yet I want to make sure I have a few things in there in case my suitcase gets lost, and you're figuring all that out, and then you're like, you can't even just go put it all in the big one because you reach your 50-pound whatever, and then you got to pay like $100, which, by the way, we flew Southwest. And this was new to me. They're charging $45 for a bag. To check a bag, it's $45.
You should have called your ex-boyfriend.
Who's that?
Man. Man is like vice president of Southwest or something.
I know, but it's there. It's not, I think because because they never used to do that on Southwest. Southwest was always you got one bag free. I don't know how long they've been doing this, but I guess it, you know, with the rising costs of fuel and everything, maybe they're doing that instead of trying to up the tickets too much. You know what I mean? It's like, it's a way to make some extra money and encourage people not to, you know, to just check a bag and less weight on the plane. I don't know, but it's $45 just to check a bag. And I was like, not about to have it be over 50 pounds, which it was on the way back. Don't ask me how. But did I open it up right there in the airport and take stuff out and cram it in a carry-on? Yes, I did. Tim and I both had to cram stuff. And I found out he'd put some of his clothes in my bag.
I just want you all to know that I went to Ireland for a week when it was cold with one carry-on and a large purse.
You know, if it wasn't for my toiletries, my supplies... I'd be okay. The clothes is not the issue. It's my supplies.
Uh-huh.
I know, y'all. I know. It is what it is. The very thought of people like just going places in like a backpack or a bag. I'm one day maybe I'll get there. But until I have to, I'm not going to. I'll just check that big bag. But it's not a lot of fun to pack. There was a cute, I will say, when we were taking off from St. Louis for Florida and then there was a little kid behind us, right behind Tim and me in our seats, and with his parents, and it was obviously his first flight. He was barely 3 years old. He was a bit of a rambunctious fellow, I have to say. He was a little rambunctious of a fellow. But anyway, and he'd been waiting on that plane. I think they boarded early maybe, which I don't ever want to board early. I'm not interested in boarding early. I want to be the last person to get on that plane. And sit down. So this kid had been
as
on there.
As long as you have your reserve seats.
And yes, that's exactly right. And that is something that Southwest does now. That's the switch, is that you do have a reserved seat, but still you're boarding in your, in like boarding groups, depending on when you checked in or whatever. So I'm like, I really, since now there's the reserve seats, I don't want to be in the first boarding group. Why would I want to get on that plane? Yeah. I'm like, give me a later thing. So, but he had been on there for a while and his poor parents kept saying, we're going to go. He's like, let's go. He's like yelling, we want to fly. Come on. He's, you know, just having a fit. And they're like, we're going to go soon. You know, it's coming, it's coming. And then finally we got to the taxiway and they were explaining what was going to happen and everything. We started going and Joni, it was the cutest. He just kept going, oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. He just over and over again. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. And I was like, that's exactly right, honey.
That's right. Be excited.
When you're flying for the very first time and you're going that fast down that runway, he was just beside himself. So that was very cute. That was a very cute thing. Other than that, we did a lot of sports activities. We watched some Wimbledon. I don't know if you caught any of Wimbledon. We had a tennis fan with us. So Ruth was a tennis fan. So we watched Wimbledon. And I accidentally matched Princess Kate's color outfit for the men's final. I was in my green caftan and she had on a green.
Y'all are the same.
That's what I was saying. I'm like, basically, we're the same because we have the same color green on. So that was a big throw. I'm trying to think what else of highlights. Oh, yes. So I saw a manatee tail and I saw two giant iguanas, Joni. Those are a situation.
Did they get in the bed with you?
No, honey. They were at some nature place. We drove through some nature place and there was these giant iguanas. And then we saw two coyotes, which that wasn't very thrilling because we have coyotes up here, but once we were in the water, we were on the beach and all this crowd of people started walking down the beach with their cameras, looking at something in the water, which, you know, can be, you never know. And it was a dolphin and it was swimming really close to the shore and they were all following it. So it swam by. And then after it swam on down a little bit, then we were fixing to get in the water and Tim waded on in and started wading out. Well, that dolphin turned around and came back, and I kid you not, swam within 5 feet of Tim, just like around him. And he said later, he was telling the story, he's like, I could have jumped on it. And I'm like,
Flipper.
I'm glad you didn't. I'm glad you did not jump on it. So that was our wildlife.
He would have taken him somewhere.
I mean, it was a little fella, so I would be afraid Tim could have hurt it. It was kind of a little guy, so I thought.
Yeah, okay, you'd have.
Yeah, I was like, I'm glad you didn't jump on it. You'd probably have been fined a whole bunch of stuff. So I don't even know. But a good time was had. Nobody's too burnt, so that's all we can hope for. Yes. Got home on Saturday. It's so weird. When we got home, it was like 10:30 in the morning because we had a very early flight, and then it was Eastern time, so we gained an hour. So we're home in the house at 10:30 in the morning, and I'm like, I unpacked, and we unloaded the car. Thatcher came and got us, unloaded the car, started to unpack, got my caftan on, and like by 11:30, I didn't know what I was going to do with myself for the rest of, you know, usually when I get home from a trip, it's like three,
it's late,
four,
yeah.
Five, you know what I mean? It's like late afternoon, evening. So you're kind of like, oh, let's just sort of, you know, whatever. And it was like the morning. And so I just kind of felt discombobulated for the rest of the day. But then Tim and Thatcher realized that the Odyssey movie had premiered. So they're like, let's go see. And we wanted to go see that. And so Thatcher's like, let's go see the Odyssey. And I'm like, okay, but just not, at first I was like, I don't know if I'm up for that. Cause I'd been up since 4 that morning. And I'm like, you know me, I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to make it. And they're like, well, we can only go at 8:00. So I'm like, okay, we're going to try. So they got tickets and we went to see it. Now I have lots of thoughts about this movie, of which I don't want to spoil stuff. But the first thing I need to tell everyone, and you all need to listen very much carefully. If you go to see The Odyssey, and I'm going to assume that the trailers are probably going to be kind of the same in most theaters, because I'm hearing this from other people on the interwebs that are saying the same thing. If you go and one of the trailers pops up and there's this little girl, and it's a trailer for a movie coming out with, what's her name? Jessica Chastain. Is that her name? Hang on. Is that a person? Jessica Chastain. I think it is. So she's an actress, and there's a little girl and a mom in the kitchen. Okay. I'm going to need you to close your eyes and look away. I'm going to need you not to watch that trailer. I don't know what the movie is called. I don't even know what the title of this movie is that they're showing this trailer. All I know is all of a sudden there's this mom in the kitchen with a little girl, and all of a sudden stuff takes a turn. And the last thing I saw as I'm like barely looking was the mom underneath the table, like with her teeth bared and like making this crazy face at the kid and the dad. And that was it. I shut my eyes and I heard a bunch of stuff that did not sound good. And I'm just going to need you to know that, to the point of where when the thing was over, again, I don't know the name of the movie, or I would maybe tell you not to see it. When the trailer was over, Joni, there's these young dudes in front of us, probably in their late teens or 20s. And the one dude just said out loud for everyone to hear, he was just like, I'm not seeing that. And everyone was like, nope. The entire theater was like, nope. So,
wonder what that is.
I don't know. I'm like, Hollywood, I don't know what you're doing. But nobody wanted that in this theater. Everyone was like, absolutely not. What, why did we even have to see this trailer? Yeah. It was traumatizing. Oh, so if you can get past that trailer, the movie was, we really enjoyed it. I mean, you know, it was a good, big, huge, epic scene thing. I will say it was, how do I describe it? It was a very intense and like physical, kind of uncomfortable at times. Like you are physically engaged in this movie. The loudness of the sound at some points was very, very loud.
Did you, because I have heard, did you feel like there was a liberal agenda in it? Because I'm hearing a lot of talk of it.
No, I mean, I'm, when I go into a movie, I'm really trying to just, because I was wondering about that too. I was like, are they going to, you know, what's going to be the twist? Yeah. There was a message, a theme, I would say there was, and I don't really want to spoil it for people. There was a theme throughout it. I found it to be a very interesting take. Okay. I found it to be a different, so in a sense, you know, I didn't feel overly overtly like that at all. There is a definite theme throughout the story, which actually is in some of which does come from the original and the Odyssey, the idea of hospitality, the idea of Zeus's law of like you were to entertain strangers because you don't know if they might be a god, similar to our Christian kind of that belief of, you know, the angels. That was kind of an ingrained thing in the culture. And what happens when you don't, when that law gets thrown out? What happens when we don't do that anymore? And so in that there's kind of a theme that reoccurs, and there's a very interesting way that the main character, Odysseus, has some thoughts about his role in all of that, which is not probably in the book or whatever. I don't know. But I did see that. Again, there was that kind of moral, that kind of thought was in there, but it didn't bother me. I thought it was actually kind of an interesting take on the story, but it was loud. It was loud. There was definitely times where I had to close my ears definitely during one scene just because it was so intense. I had to close my eyes in one scene because I wasn't sure what was going on and it was grossing me out. And if I had remembered the original story on that part, I probably would have been a little more okay with. And anyway, it's pretty intense. There's no nudity. There's no sex. There's no boobies, nothing like that anywhere in it. So that was interesting, but it was pretty intense. The music, the score is very, very cool and unusual and different. I came to find out later that the guy who wrote it actually either recreated or whatever, found some ancient Greek instruments, and he tried to do, it's not an orchestration kind of score. It's all on these old, more authentic Greek instruments and metal sounds, and it's very different. It's very, yeah. Very, very different.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, it was very interesting. The acting was very good. A couple things were weird. I'm like, the cinematography, all that was very, very cool. I would not, you know, the big thing people are kind of talking about too is like, how it's, if you see it in the IMAX, the big screen, or if you just see it on the regular screen, or, you know, what the experience, we just saw it in a big theater, but it was a regular big screen. But I can just tell you what, I don't think I would want to see it on the IMAX. I think it would be too intense. I think that would be any more intense than what it was.
So you need to come back so that we can go see the Minions.
Oh my gosh.
Because Ron won't go see the Minions.
What?
We did go see Young Washington.
Oh, that's on my list too.
And yeah, we did go see Young Washington.
How was it?
It was good. It was good.
Yeah.
But the Minions were out and Toy Story. And I'm like, I'm going to have to kidnap a child.
No, everyone, she's kidding. She's just kidding. She's just going
to take them to the movie.
She's going to take a kid to the movie.
You know, yeah, that I did.
I would totally. I do want to see the Minions. I forgot that was even coming out.
You know, we have this. I told Ron because we have a friend who has a Halloween party and stuff every year. And I said, this year we are going to go as I'm going to be a Minion. Mm-hmm. And I just totally forgot his name.
Gru.
What's the dude's name?
Gru.
Gru. Mm-hmm. Gru. And Ron's going to be Gru.
Yeah, that's 100%. I've actually thought about that for you and I. If we ever needed a Halloween costume, I could totally be Gru and you could be a Minion.
Yeah.
That'll be great for Ron. That would be hilarious, actually. My gosh. You have to get little overalls.
Yeah, yep. Very looking. Yep.
I love it. I love it. Oh my gosh. I do want to see The Young Washington. That looks good. And there's another movie coming out. I'm not good with titles. It's something about World War II, I think. Wow, I'm doing great. I felt like there was some D-Day movie or something that was going to come out that looked good too, but now I can't remember. So there you go, guys. That's all you get from me.
Well, John Garrett had a wildlife experience.
What happened to him?
So I think we had talked about last year that at camp, the bear situation
was bad.
Is bad, and it's bad this year. Hmm. So what's happening, Ron has a theory, and it's true. This has happened since the hurricane came through North Carolina. And but the bears have gotten much more, they are not afraid of people.
Hmm.
And they've gotten a little more aggressive.
Really?
Yeah. So typically the black bears, especially, you know, in Appalachia, you know, they're roaming the mountains. But when they see people, they typically just walk away. They mind their own business as long as the humans are minding their own business.
Right. And as long as you don't scare them and,
don't,
you know.
Yeah. Scare them and you don't go after one of their cubs. Everybody, they just kind of, you know, wander on down the path. Well, they've not been wandering away from humans at camp.
Ooh.
And they have been going into the cabins.
Oh, my gosh.
And stuff. Like, so John Garrett is, he's in an admin position this year. So he doesn't have a cabin full of kids. It's he and like the other tribal leaders and things like that. And they're staying in the old, Pisgah where Thatcher and JB were.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
And so... but they've had a bear come in there, not while they've been in there, but come in and like toss trunks around and all this kind of stuff. So, but John Garrett was, he had been, I don't know, to town and he came back and there is a dumpster, you know, right there where they park. And he went to throw his trash in the dumpster. And that's when a big old bear came out from behind the dumpster.
Mm-hmm.
Well, John Garrett starts backing up and gets to his car and he yells at it. Usually you yell at them and they'll go on.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Well, it didn't.
Oh,
it came
gosh.
Walking toward him. And so he backs up and he actually had his gun right there on the side of his car and he reached in his car and pulled out his gun. And I said, honey, all that's going to do is make him mad, you know, but he was like, it's all I had.
Shoot straight.
He
yeah.
said, you know, he said, it's all I had. And he said, Mom, I was close enough that I could have gotten a headshot in. And he said, but that would have been all I got in. So he said he came. So the bear starts walking mm-hmm. toward him. He yells at again. It keeps coming toward him.
Sheesh.
And so he pulls up his gun at that point and cocks it. And he said, I thought I'm going to have to shoot this bear. I don't know how this is going to go. He said he was this close. The width, not the length of our swimming pool, but the width mm-hmm. is how close that bear was to him.
No, that's too close.
And he said, he said, I yelled at it one more time and pointed my gun at it. And when I finally yelled at it at that point, it turned around and went off.
Hmm.
But they are really having a time with
yeah,
the bears.
I wonder, yeah, I mean, there's not a lot. I mean, it's in the middle of the woods in the mountain. There's not yeah. like a barrier you can
it's
of
just
do.
There.
But yet that's
it's
actually.
Nothing that they've really had to deal with. You know, I mean, there's. Because, you know, they've kind of kept to their own. Humans keep to their space. Bears kind of keep
yeah,
to their space.
Yeah. And you always have to be more cautious. Like if you're going out on a hike or a camp yeah. out and you're on the trail and I'm sure they have bear spray and all that. I mean, I'm sure yeah. the counselors have all that, you know, cause you're going into their, you know, area a little bit more.
Right.
But to have them come up and camp. I wonder if the girls camp has been having that trouble too. I don't
they
know.
They did. So last year, you know, a friend of John Garrett's was in the girls camp mm-hmm. last year. And she was the one that told us, she said, the bears this year are much more aggressive, much more. She said, they're not afraid of us. They're not, they're, you know, the bears would come down the trail and normally they would veer off and go, if they saw humans, they would just veer off and go, you know, into the woods or whatever. Mm-hmm. And she said last year they weren't doing that. Mm-hmm. They just kept coming at them. So
ooh, that's awful. That's scary.
Yeah. So, and you know, and you don't know what to, you've got all these campers that you've got to, you know, back up or slowly, you know, you don't want to take off running or anything that would startle them. So anyway,
we're going to have to figure something out. Cause that's pretty, you know, I mean, yeah, you just can't have it. It used to be kind of every once in a while one would get up on a porch or something, but not, you know, so, well, I'm glad John Garrett's okay. I'm glad he didn't get hit by the bar.
The truth.
The bar.
Yeah. As he's telling me the story, he says, oh no. And this is the weekend off. He says, oh no. He's walking through camp. And I said, what? And he said, our door is open.
Oh.
And I said,
John Garrett.
Great. I said, I'm staying on the, cause we were about to hang up. I said, I'm going to stay on the phone with you. Mm-hmm. Of course, by the time I could have done anything, it would all been,
I know, I guess you call the office. my son's been
eaten. It's too late by the time anybody gets there, you know, but anyway, he goes in, he said, well, he said, it either means that somebody left the door open or a bear has been in there or a bear is in there.
So, yeah. I feel like at least the thing they're going to have to do is, and I don't know what this would be, but they'd have to put some kind of bear locks on those doors, which I know they're good at, but you know, you have to be able to be in there and sleeping and you also need the kids to be able to get out.
Yeah.
So I said,
and you know, anyway, he went in, he said, well, it's not in here. He said, but I'm pretty sure it's been in here. He said, there's trash on the floor and stuff like that. But
how can you tell that different from just boys? You know,
boys.
It could have just been boys.
That's what he said, you know,
is it a boy or is it a bear? We don't know.
I said, do you have a lock on that door? He said, no, there's no lock on the door. I said, y'all need to put something in front of the door when you're sleeping. And he said, Mom, it can push it out of the way. I said, I know, but at least you would hear it coming in.
Right. You wouldn't just think it was someone going to the bathroom or, you know, I don't know. Yeah, something. They're going to have to figure out something because that's, and they're pretty far away. Like that building is not, you know what I mean? Yeah. It's kind of up there by itself.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wonder I wonder if around kind of where the cabins and the people and the bath, you know, if it's a little more activity, but we'll keep them away. But, oh, that's no fun. My goodness.
So.
Glad he's one piece. Well, I sent Caleb a picture or a video off of Instagram because I was watching. I don't know how the things Instagram gives me to watch, and I'm just watching them now. Like I get down. You watch one thing, and I know it's always been this way, but it seems like it's even more. Like if I pause and watch one thing, my entire feed is just, you know, bebopping between those two. Anyway, whatever. Somehow I saw a video of Snoop Dogg has a dog, a little, I don't know, a pug, a Frenchie. I think it's a Frenchie. And he was doing some video because his dog got lost. It's called Baby Boy. And so something about Snoop Dogg and his dog, Baby Boy. Anyway, and it got lost and people helped him find it. Well, one of the next videos that served me up was still another Snoop Dogg, and it was of the dog, and it was just of the dog. And in the video, I saw on the side as the camera's kind of panning around, I saw the exact same piece of furniture, that console cabinet, that navy blue cabinet that Caleb has in his house, in Snoop Dogg's house.
See, look at that. They are the same.
They are the same. I sent it right away to Caleb. I said, look closely. You and Snoop got the same furniture. And he was like, I see it, which was pretty amazing. So Snoop Dogg be shopping at Ashley Furniture. So I just need everyone to know that. He is not too proud to shop at the Ashley.
No, that's right. That's right.
I thought, no way.
Yeah.
I know. Uh-huh. Those are the things that make my heart happy is when I find things like that. And I needed to share that with Blub. So
what you're saying is you have the same taste as Snoop Dogg.
Basically, as if anyone doubted it. I mean, we're practically the same again.
I'm going to hold my comments right there.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I really do appreciate that. I drink his wine sometimes, so he owes me something. I paid for that. I paid for that, Ashley.
That's right. You did.
Cabinet. It's a
sure
cute cabinet.
You did.
I did. I helped him buy that cabinet.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Oh, Lord, y'all, I've gotten out of control. I do need to do a quick shout out. And this is about all I got. But this is a shout out to Megan in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. She is a good friend of Miss Ruth's, and apparently she's a listener, Jones.
Okay.
So I said, well, we'll be sure to give her a big old designer cornbread hello and a shout out to all our many fans in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. There you go. So, hey, Megan, hope your day is great. Other than that, that's all I have to report on. I'm having to get back to real life. I've decided that I need to schedule my life a little bit more. I need to create a little cleaning schedule for myself for the house because this summer everything has just kind of, you know, it's summer. And that's understandable, but I'm ready to kind of get back to something, and I think a little bit of a loose schedule will be helpful to me. So I'm going to be working on that this week, among other things of catching up with the booth. I've got inventory I've got to deal with that I just left all in the dining room. So that is Holly's week coming up. So with that said, do you have anything else, or are you ready for a recipe for us?
I am ready for a recipe for
you. I can't wait. Give it to us.
So I am like focusing on getting back to school and all these things. And this is, you know, just those quick and easy casseroles that you can put down.
Ooh,
anyway.
Nice.
So yeah, these weeknight suppers. So This is a lattice topped French onion and chicken rice bake.
Oh my gosh.
And it is
good.
So good. It's, I would liken it to like a French onion chicken kind of thing. So
amazing. Right. Kids are going to love that.
Here's your ingredients are 1/2 cup of butter, 4 cups, which are about 2 of your large onions, 2 cups halved and thickly sliced sweet onions. Get you those by Dahlia's.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's 1 1/2. The recipe calls for 1 1/2 cups of uncooked instant white rice. I will tell you that I use regular rice. I just cook it ahead of time and put it in there.
Okay.
I have to, Ron has Hashimoto's, so I have to use the organic, no folic acid rice kind of thing.
Okay.
So, 2 cups of beef broth, 1 tablespoon of Worcestershire sauce, or as Caleb Shank says, wash your sister sauce.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
2 cups of shredded chicken. And 1 cup of shredded Swiss cheese. Then you can use, if you want to make your own pie crust, you can make your own pie crust, which I do. Or you can also use a can of the crescent dough sheet.
Mm.
And another tablespoon of melted butter and 1/2 teaspoon of dried thyme leaves. All right. So here's your instructions. Mm-hmm. Preheat your oven to 375 degrees. And then grease a 9x13 glass baking dish. And then in a skillet, you're going to melt your stick of butter over, I would do medium-high heat. And then cook your onions in that butter for 15 to 20 minutes. Just get them good and soft and golden browned, mm-hmm. real caramelized. And then you're going to stir in your rice. Cook 2 or 3 minutes and just keep stirring that until that rice is good and toasted. Then you're going to stir in your broth and your wash your sister sauce and then heat that up to simmering and just occasionally come in and stir it. Then you'll stir in your chicken, cook that for about 3 or 4 minutes, stir in your cheese, just mix it to combine it all and then transfer that all to your baking dish and then just keep it covered to keep warm. Now, if you want to stop there, that's a delicious casserole.
Mm-hmm.
This, though, you know, just adds more flavor to it. So unroll your dough and on any work surface and cut your dough into strips. And do y'all know how to, I guess everybody knows how to do a lattice. Do you know how to do a lattice? You're going to lattice
that dough. Are you weaving
it
or are you just laying them on top?
So, yeah. So just arrange like 4 strips lengthwise on top of the filling. And then just start bringing in, lay the other 4 across, and then you just weave it in there
like
that.
Yeah, so it stays together.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then, so once you have that on top of your casserole, you're going to brush that dough with a tablespoon of butter and sprinkle your thyme on top, and then bake it for 18 to 22 minutes.
Oh, until that's not very long.
Bubbly. No, because this most of it's cooked.
That's right. It's really cooked. It's just that the pie crust on the, or the crescent stuff on the top has to cook, and then everything has to heat together. But otherwise, that's a, yeah, that'd be good. Like, again, you could have that pretty much made ahead and just lay that dough on the top and stick it in the oven.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So it's a good, quick kind of weeknight supper.
Mm-hmm. That is good. That's an excellent one. I love it. I don't think I've ever had one exactly like that before with the dough. So that sounds really good. Excellent. I think it's your top three.
Top three.
It is my top three. All right. So one of the things that I am currently drinking right now is Cure Electrolytes.
Ooh,
that I just add in my water. It's one of the things that Flourish carries. You can buy it. You can buy it at Amazon too. I know that.
How do you spell it? K-U-R or C-U?
No. No, C-U-R-E.
Oh, just
Cure.
Like it sounds. Okay, Cure.
Yeah, just like it sounds.
Okay.
They've got all kinds of different flavors. The nurse that, I'm getting NAD treatment now, but she was giving me my IV, and she said, yeah, just don't get the ginger. And so I don't know. I haven't tried that then, but they've got like watermelon and berries, and they've got lemonade and all kinds of different flavors that you can pick from.
But the ginger might be a little too spicy.
Yeah, but you may like it.
Okay, I mean, it just depends, you know? I guess maybe if you mixed it in with a drink or something that wasn't so.
Yeah.
Okay. I love electrolytes. I'm all about those this summer. I've never really done that before, but apparently we're supposed to be having them.
Yep. So I'm a big fan of that now.
Okay.
The other is a chicory outdoor sofa. And
your sofa came?
My sofa came.
Ooh.
I'm loving it. It's not waterproof, but it's water resistant.
Yeah, under your thing, it'll be fine. Yeah.
It's completely washable.
Oh.
Everything's washable. So it's I've got it under my gazebo. It's very comfortable, I'm liking my chicory. I will say shipping takes a very long time, or processing your order. Shipping didn't take that long. But processing the order, you know, and they did give me a heads up when I ordered it, because I ordered it in June and it said it wouldn't be shipped until like early July. And I think it came like July 11th or something like that.
Oh, wow. So that's a long lead time. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and that seems to be, I've, you know, looked at it when it was taking kind of a long time. One, I went, is chicory a real company? When I Googled this, and they said, yes.
Yeah, did they just take my money? And am I even getting a couch?
So evidently they are a real company, and it was very easy to put together and all that. But that's one of the things is that it does take a while to get it through their system or whatever. So.
Okay. All right.
And the other, my last one, and I'm trying to remember, but I will link it because I got it at Amazon. It's either RMR or RBR, but it is a mold and mildew stain remover.
Ooh.
So I just want to tell you, so, you know, when the kids would come home from camp, like, and their sleeping bags would have been damp, and then they've got them, you know, scrunched up in something, and they get these mildew stains
on
them.
There's nothing, and the smell, I can smell it right now in my nose. Yeah. That whole trunk.
So, and I deal with it every year when we're opening stuff back up, you know, around the pool, and you've got these cushions and pillows, and they've been sitting under the gazebo, and they've, you know, and all of this. If you've got a boat, we always had things that, you know, life jackets and stuff that get stored under there, and they just get these mildew stains on them. Well, you know, one of the only ways to get stuff out is with bleach. Mm-hmm. Well, that, you know, just ruins your stuff.
Mm-hmm.
This, I am going to tell you, this RMR or RBR mold and mildew, it just melted those stains off.
Really?
And it did not discolor. You know, my blue cushions that I have on the swinging chase lounges out there. They had some mildew stains on them when I started getting that back out, getting everything. And I just sprayed it, and you could just watch the black run off.
Ooh.
And I just closed it off. It was.
I wonder if I could use that for my umbrella when I had to pressure wash for like two solid days. I bet if I sprayed that on there.
Yes. I mean, I was very, very pleased with it.
Wow. Okay. That's a good one, actually, because that's very, very useful. There's always stuff that has those little things on your outdoor stuff. That's very, very satisfying to watch that stuff just come off.
It did. I was just like, what is going on? You know, and I tested it in little places because I thought, is this going to bleach it? Is it
right? Is it going to melt my whole fabric? Yeah. What's it going to do? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Very cool. I love that. That's very practical. Yeah. I might try to get some of that for the umbrella because I was just going to buy a new, I told Tim, I said, I'm not doing that again on this umbrella. It was a $40 umbrella, from Walmart, and it's cute and I love it. And I've had it for many years. It's like a black and white stripe, you know, really cute. And I power washed it and it took me two full, and our power washer wasn't the best, I'll be honest. But I told him, I said, I'm not doing that again. It'll be time for a new umbrella.
That's what I had my pressure washer out and I just sprayed it and you could watch it. And then I just sprayed it down with the pressure washer.
I think if I did that, if I
sprayed, but really I could have done it with the hose.
Did you scrub it with anything or did it just, oh, wow.
Okay. It just came off.
Okay. Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, guys. She's just changed her whole life right there.
Yeah. I mean, it worked really, really well for me. So.
Excellent. Excellent.
Top three.
Awesome. Well, those are very good ones. Very practical, very helpful. Sounds amazing. So, well, guys, once again, you've spent another little bit of time with us and we appreciate it and we love it. Hope you're having a great summer, end of summer. I can't believe you're starting back in like a week.
I am starting back in about a week.
In about a week and a half. I can't believe it. Well, that's the way it is, guys. That's the way it is. Got to get them kids learned. So hope everybody has a really good, I don't think there's any holidays. I think we got nothing coming up till Labor Day.
Labor Day.
We're in the dark. We're in the dark times with no holidays.
So. That's right. That's right.
All right, guys. Have a great week. And until next time, goodbye, Pellet.
See ya, Patch.
Thanks. I got to figure that out because stuff is just, I don't know. Anyway, sun, summer, face. I've just got to do something. So maybe I need to go. I do kind of want to do something. I don't know what, but I thought.
Well,
I've never
and it
had
wasn't
any
a lot
facials.
Of down. Yeah, it wasn't a lot of downtime either. Mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, it was one day that your face looks kind of like Red Skull, but then it starts, you know, clearing up after that.
Okay.
And I'm loving it. Yeah. Taking care of my rosacea and all that.
Okay. All right. You've maybe almost talked me into it. One more time of talking about it. Maybe I'll
just come on down. I'll set you up an appointment.
Yeah. Cause then I can convalesce at your house and no one has to see me that I know up here. I can just be like sent away to the seashore like they did in the days when.
That's right. Go to the red tent.
Send me to Joanie's. I got to get my stuff done. The red tent. Right.
Yes. The red skull tent. Yeah.
Oh, gosh. All right. I got to go. I'll talk to you later, alligator.
See ya.
Bye.